This is an ABC podcast.
On ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria. This is The Conversation Hour with Rochelle Hunt.
And I have a personal connection to today's show, so I just wanted to give you a little bit of background. Many of you may already know this, but my mum was adopted, albeit by the most generous and loving people you could ever imagine, and I wouldn't change it for the world. But looking back now, as an adult and as a mum myself, I'm starting to see some things a little differently. So my mum is one of four kids, all adopted, and it was never hidden. In fact, it was something that we were super proud of and we discussed all the time. My cousins, who are not biological, but hands down some of the most important people in my life, we spent every waking hour together at kids at Nana and Pa's, after school, weekends, school holidays, or when we all got the chicken pox. All seven of us were there all the time. It was seriously the best childhood. And whenever we had sleepovers before bed, we would say to Nana and Pa, "Tell us the story of how you picked out our parents. Tell us again. What made you choose Mum? What made you choose Dad?" We loved the idea of Nana and Pa walking around what we actually called the kid lolly shop. Sounds a bit strange, doesn't it? But it's what we called it. And the fact is, they could choose. There were plenty of children in orphanages. And it's only now that I'm starting to understand why. So later on in life, when my mum was diagnosed with cancer, the first thing you get asked, and anyone with a diagnosis like this understands this, the first thing you get asked is, do you have a history of cancer in the family? Now, Mum and I, actually, as well, we've got very used to saying to doctors, to GPs, we don't know our medical history. But cancer, and the idea that you don't know your genetics or the genetics that you're passing on to your child, this is what prompted my mum to try and discover who she really was. So skip forward, years later, sitting in a small government office with a stranger, a very super sweet woman from Vanish, an organisation who you'll meet later in this program. It was super surreal having them say to you, "We found your biological mother, but we need to warn you that this can be confronting. Your birth certificate is not going to have your name on it. It'll be a different name. It'll be the name you're given at birth." And she also said and warned us that there'll be details about how and why you were adopted out that will be written in a tone that's different. It was a different era. It was a time when our views on women's rights were vastly different. If you were unmarried or underage, you were quite often sent away, and your baby was taken from you, and you were adopted out. And then you just re-entered your life as if nothing ever happened. My biological grandmother was underage, and she was sent to live at an auntie's home in the city. And after that, there isn't really a lot of detail. But on the notes from the hospital, it referred to my mum as the trouble, and that the trouble had been dealt with, meaning she'd been adopted out. My birth grandmother had died, so we never met her, and beyond that, we didn't really go searching for anything more. That's where we left it. Now, the reason why I told you that personal story is because my mum's story is actually very familiar to a lot of people, especially of a certain age, for the mothers, for the fathers, and for the children of those that were forcibly adopted. Well, now Victorian mothers who were forcibly separated from their children at birth could be eligible for compensation and support. And this is under a new redress scheme. The scheme includes everything from recognition and support to help with the trauma and the mental health associated. It will make it easier to access records and birth certificates and even monetary compensation. When I first heard about this, I actually thought about my mum and how it affected her life in so many different ways. And even though she was lucky, my grandparents gave her the best life, she still had questions around why she was adopted. And those questions never left her. So for you, if this resonates, how important is the redress? What helps? What heals? Is it validation? Is it counselling? Is it financial payments, reunions, support? Or is it just simply easy access to records?
On ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria.
This is the Conversation Hour.
I had a Catholic single mother who gave me up for adoption, and I just think it was a time where society wasn't going to support them. And in today's society, it's wrong when you can keep your baby and everyone's happy, but in those days it was thought to be in the best interest of both. And certainly the women who gave the children up had... They didn't have parents supporting them. My mother was in Perth. She got on a boat and came to Melbourne and had me at St Vincent. And so her parents died never knowing I existed.
That's Sarah. She spoke with Raphael Epstein just a few weeks ago, talking about what the redress will mean to her. So what will it mean to you? How will it help you? How will it help you heal? A little later in the program, we'll actually go into some of the details of what a redress even means and what it could look like. But Elaine joins you now. She's a member of ARMS, which is a volunteer support organisation for mothers of forced adoption. Elaine, a warm welcome to the Conversation Hour. Now, you're actually a part of ARMS because your daughter was forced into adoption when you were 19 years of age. Is that right?
That's right, yes.
So what can you tell us a little bit about your story?
Yes, I was in a relationship with a chap and found myself pregnant. I kept my pregnancy quiet for about, I was 6 months, then approached mum and dad and told them. They were absolutely horrified. Appearance meant everything to my parents. I was kept at home. I was locked up when any visitors came. I was then taken to hospital when the baby was due. I gave birth to her. A sheet was put up. I never held her. I was told I had a girl. That is all. I was not encouraged to go and see her. And in those days, you obeyed what was told of you. I came home 7 days later without my baby and told to get on with my life.
Elaine, I'm so sorry that happened to you. I can't even imagine. I can't even let my mind go there for what it physically does to me to even hear you tell that story. Did you know going into hospital that you were going to be forced to give your child up for adoption?
Yes, I did. My parents, that was it. I was told that it was arranged between the doctor, family doctor, and my parents. He already had someone that could adopt my daughter out, and it was all arranged that way. It was a private adoption.
As we heard with the caller from RAF, Sarah, she said that, you know, parents, those within the medical industry, they actually thought they were doing the right thing. Did you believe that your parents' heart was in the right place?
No, because later on, after I had my daughter, my brother had a baby, a forced marriage. And I was made to have that child in the house as well. So they lived with mum and dad. So that was a double thing. I gave mine up, or I had to give it up. And, you know, they kept their baby. That's wrong.
How common was it then, Elaine? Because we're talking about, the early 60s?
64.
How common was it?
Well, I didn't know anyone else that had had a baby. But I've since, you know, as you... Going to ARMS, I suppose, helped me because I talk more freely about it now. But I never spoke about it to anyone. Never. Never, ever. You just didn't say what you had done because you were labelled. And it's awful.
Years later, you went on to have more children at the same hospital.
Yes, I did. Yes.
It was the same doctor?
Same doctor, yes. Treated like a mum. Yep. You know, every help about the place. The nurses before sort of, you know, scowled at you. You were that girl that had the illegitimate child.
Oh, gosh, it's so much to take in, isn't it? Before we talk to you about what the redress means to you, and I know at ARMS, the Volunteer Support Organisation, there'll be lots of questions being asked about how the redress will help them as well. You've reconnected with your daughter?
Yes, I did, yes. And unfortunately to learn that she had approached my mother earlier, and my mother had told her that I didn't want to have anything to do with her. So my mother virtually twice denied me my child. I had 14 years of lovely times, and I'll cherish them. Met my grandchildren, and now for 5 years I have not seen my daughter. And that hurts, you know, birthdays, Christmas, everything. I had special days, you know, that we saw each other, and we don't know.
How will the redress help, Elaine? How will it help you, and how will it help other mothers and children and fathers as well?
Of course. It will help them by being acknowledged and not being frowned on. It will help us financially. We've had to pay out a lot on counselling. I'm sort of 50-50 about money, because money can never replace a child and the love of a child and holding that child. But they're important things. I've held my daughter once on her birthday, just once in her whole life. You know, that's sad, very sad.
It's beyond sad. It's beyond sad. Elaine, is that why you joined ARMS, to help you heal and to be able to help other mothers?
Yes, definitely. Yes. And now we can't go to our meetings, but, you know, it's sad. That's how we express ourselves and keep saying.
Thank you so much for the work that you do, and the fact that you run this peer support group as well to help others. And there is a lot of love and support coming in for you on the text line, Elaine. I wish you all the best. And I hope the redress does help you in some way.
I hope so too. Thank you very much for listening.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for telling your story. That's Elaine. The group we're talking about there is ARMS. It's a volunteer support organisation. You can go to armsvic.org.au. There's lots of numbers on there that you can reach out to as well, but lots of mobile numbers. And I didn't sort of feel incredibly comfortable about giving out mobile numbers today. So if you go to armsvic.org.au, you can get lots of details about what they do and how they can potentially help you as well. Nancy, you're in Boronia. Welcome.
Hello, how are you?
Well, what did you want to say?
I want to say that I was sent to a home as well. I went to the doctors to have it confirmed. He gave me a note, said, take this home to your mum and dad. I took it home to mum and dad. The next day, I was sent to a home. I wish I had read that letter. I reckon he had organised that night, and mum and dad took it as gospel.
So you were pregnant and
Yes, okay,
and you went, and so you were taken somewhere to have that child?
Yes, I was taken to a home to have that child. The next morning, after I gave mum and dad the note.
And they didn't talk to you about it at all? Your mum and dad didn't speak to you about it?
No, mum and dad didn't mention anything at all. The next morning, we were just I was sent to a home. No discussion was made, no discussion with mum and dad, no discussion with... The decision was made, I think, before we went. I went into the hospital.
And how long were you there for, Nancy?
I was there for about 4 months.
So it's all sort of about hiding the pregnancy, isn't it? Hiding the...
We were told to hide.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was hiding the pregnancy. And I've got a sister. We were pregnant at the same time, just because she was married, she was allowed to keep hers. I wasn't.
Because she was married.
4 months between the babies.
So once you had your child, were you able to hold it? I'm so sorry. That's a really harsh question to ask, and I hope that doesn't upset you.
No, I wasn't. I never saw him. I was drugged out. I can't remember anything. That part of my life is a blur.
Oh, Nancy. So does this redress, does it help? I mean, when we talk about things like a redress and compensation, you know, they're words we throw around really lightly and easily. But when you hear the reality of what some people went through, will it help you?
It would help me, yes. We were told no man would marry a second-hand woman. if they'd had the child out of wedlock. I was lucky enough to marry a man who would accept me. He's been very, very supportive. But when he said, "Will you marry me?" I said, "I can't." And then he asked me why, and it didn't worry him. So, do you know what I mean? We've lived a life of lies.
It was so different. I mean, thank goodness things have changed,
yeah,
Nancy.
I feel like I have given birth to a faceless baby.
Oh, sweet.
I was fed into the system.
I really hope this redress helps you, Nancy.
Yes.
Thank you for sharing your story.
Okay, thank you for that. And I'm in arms too.
Oh, good.
And they've been really, really...
Yeah. Good. They sound incredible. We're going to speak to some more members of ARMS a little later. Nancy, look after yourself. Thank you. People asking for details on ARMS. So it's ARM as in A-R-M. Go to armsvic.org.au. You can also go to vanish.org.au and we'll be speaking to Vanish in just a moment as well.
On ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria. This is The Conversation Hour with Rochelle Hunt.
And if you've just joined us, we were talking about the new Victorian redress scheme into forcible adoptions, trying to help and assist mothers and children of those that were forcibly adopted. How would a redress scheme help? Would it be validation? Would it be counselling? Or would it be some form of monetary compensation as well? I just want to read out a few texts. There are plenty. I doubt whether I'm going to be able to read out all of today's, but here's just a few. This is from M in Melbourne. Oh, this is so sad. I actually remember those times. They were horrible. Terms like born in sin or a fallen woman, and that hospitals wouldn't take an unmarried mother. And another saying, about 10 years ago, I found out I had a cousin born one day before me. My mum and aunt were pregnant at the same time, and my mum's pregnancy was celebrated and my aunt's was kept a secret, and my cousin was adopted. My mum's family was from a small country town and my grandfather was very traditional. Such a strange feeling to know, although we were only born one day apart, I never knew about my cousin until we were both in our late 30s and had families of our own. And this, listening to these stories of forced adoption with tears in my eyes while I'm feeding my six-month-old sweet potato at the moment. I haven't slept much since he was born, but now I suddenly feel very grateful for that. I'm so sorry for these mums. That's from Beck in Nutterwadding. We'll speak to Vanish in just a moment, and we'll also go to ARMS as well. If you've just joined us, ARMS is a volunteer organisation that helps mothers of those whose children were forcibly adopted. Liz is in Watsonia. Sorry, Liz. Welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What did you want to say? Thanks for holding.
Good. I'm 74 now, so it was a long time ago that I was adopted into a happy family. But in the 1980s, I tracked my birth mother through Vanish and met her, and she had been 16 at the time of my birth. So she's since passed on, obviously, and no redress would make any difference to her now. Yeah. But I felt at the time that she was very pleased that I'd taken the trouble to contact her, because she didn't feel she had any rights. She'd signed some piece of paper and didn't feel she had any rights to...
Gosh, that's so common. What I find... Mm-hmm. Interesting about the redress scheme, Liz, and for those that have just joined us at the beginning, I sort of explained that, you know, I have a very personal connection to this story as well. And I thought about my mum, and the redress wouldn't have helped her, would have helped her mother. Is this something where you feel like maybe the children that were forcibly adopted should be included in the redress a little more as well? So you?
Well, I don't actually want anything out of it except information. I had a child with a disability, and that's one of the triggers to start searching. That proved to be just a dead end, but it did start a relationship with his with my birth mother's son from her actual marriage, and I still keep in contact with that family.
Yeah, I think being prompted by a health concern or something else where you want to know your genetics a little more is actually really common as well. And Liz, you know, when you're talking about access to records, that's a part of the redress as well. Just not making it so bloody hard for people to get that information, because that's a stressful experience as well. I wish you all the best, Liz. Thanks for joining us today. Thank you. Charlotte Smith is the manager of Vanish. And Charlotte, we've been speaking about Vanish a lot this morning. You do incredible work. It's the Victorian Adoption Network for Information and Self-Help. Let's start off by talking about the redress. What will it actually cover? What are they planning or hoping to achieve?
Thanks, Rochelle, and thanks for having me on the show. So in terms of the redress, what the inquiry committee have recommended is a redress scheme for mothers that includes a monetary payment, counselling or psychological support, and a direct response from the agency or organisation that was involved in the forced adoption that took place.
From all of the mums that we've spoken to today, money is the last thing on their mind. I think what they want is access to information or a greater understanding of what and why things occurred.
Yes, that's true. Many mothers have said that they're not so concerned about financial compensation. However, there are many mothers whose, you know, the trajectory of their life was completely changed by this event. It was such a significant event, being separated from their child, and some didn't continue their education, or, you know, their lives were just so changed that they're not in really good financial position now. And also the committee noted that many mothers have incurred substantial costs in terms of the counselling or whatever support that they've tried to access. So I think some mothers would appreciate a redress scheme that involves money.
When we talk about access to records, how could we make it easier? Because at the same time, we also have to accept that maybe people don't want to be contacted. Like, is it sort of meant to be a little bit difficult?
I don't think it is meant to be difficult. Since the 1984 Adoption Act, and records were opened so that adopted people could apply for their adoption records and also their original birth certificate. Natural mothers did not get that right until 2013, so I think it's been very difficult for them. And as Liz just said, her natural mother didn't feel that she could search. But some of the barriers to accessing information really are to do with the records that have gone missing, or that have been destroyed when they should not have been, or they may have been destroyed by floods and fires and things like that. And so individuals actually can't get the information about the relative that they're looking for. So I absolutely accept your point, though, Rochelle, about privacy. And I think that what we found is that if somebody says that they do not want contact, that is usually respected. You know, it's very unusual for someone to pursue a relationship when someone said, no, I'm sorry, I'm not interested, or I can't.
How commonplace was it? Because what we're talking about, it feels like it happened centuries ago, but it's actually not that long ago when you think about just how quickly time flies by. How commonplace was it? Because predominantly, are we talking about the 50s and the 60s here?
We're actually talking about 50s, 60s, 70s, and even in the 80s for the whole period. So in terms of commonplace, that's a little bit of a more difficult question to answer, because we do know that between 1928 and 2004, about 65,000 adoptions took place in Victoria. And between 1958 and 1984, there are about 40,000. But how many of those were subject to coercion or bullying or without consent, or where the mother was not told her rights or that she could access financial support? We actually don't know.
And when we talk about monetary compensation, and that is the furthest thing from a lot of people's minds, there is an interesting text here that says it's actually a fallacy that babies all went to, in inverted commas, good homes. Too many of us adoptees have actually suffered much more than our mothers did. So it's actually, you know, looking at the circumstances of those individuals and what might help. Charlotte Smith is with you. She's the manager of Vanish. We're talking about the redress scheme for those that were forcibly adopted. Charlotte, Rodney's called. He's in Ferny Creek. Welcome, Rodney. What did you want to say?
Look, I just wanted to say I found out I was adopted by accident when I was in my 40s. And to the information was I hit a wall that you couldn't believe. And I had a wait of a... I was given a number and a wait for somewhere between 5 and 10 years.
To be able to get information?
Yeah. And then the law changed, and so then I'd travelled. I was actually in Western Australia when the law changed, and when I come back to Melbourne, I'd found that it was just a matter then of consulting a carer. I think it was a caseworker, and she found that I was semi-stable, I suppose, and. I got access to my birth certificate, in which I found some relatives and a natural sister in that time. But, I mean, what my main, my birth mother was forced to give up 2 children under a lot of duress. And the secrecy my mother had of being not her child, I reckon that took years of her life to hold in that secret. She nearly had a nervous breakdown when I got married. So, yeah, look, it has a lot of challenges.
It really does, Rodney. Did it help you once you found out some information about your mum, about your birth, your story as well? Did that help you?
Oh, it certainly explained a lot of my family life, it was an interesting concept. I mean, I suddenly was the golden child for my mother, but not too happy with my father. Father wasn't too happy about it. But it explains all that.
It gave you answers. Yeah. Rodney, thank you. The line's getting a little bit crackly, so we'll say goodbye. Charlotte, how common is it for people later in life, like Rodney, aged 40, to only discover then that he was adopted and to try looking and searching for information?
Yes, unfortunately, it's very common, Rochelle. We actually get people who come to us who find out in their 70s, even in their 80s, that they are adopted. Often it can be through, their adoptive parents passing away. They might find out through when going through the paperwork, or someone might finally come up and tell them, a cousin come and tell them at the funeral. And it's very challenging for people, because often they find out that everyone else knew, they were the only person who didn't know.
So the redress scheme is for mothers, not for children, is that right?
That's right, yes. The recommendation is that the redress scheme be for mothers. There is also a recommendation that government should consider a redress scheme for adopted people. But that recommendation has caused some disappointment and even anger but the fact that it's for mothers only amongst the adoptee community. And
I could imagine that it would. It actually surprised me, because I was surprised to hear when you say that it was probably still common-ish place in the 70s and even the 80s. But when you think about the 50s and the 60s, and I think about my own personal experience, I was thinking, oh, okay, well, my biological grandmother, there's no chance she would be alive. So how, and it's actually my mum that would have benefited from the redress, from the counselling or from access to information. So I could see that it would disappoint a few people.
Yes, that's right. I mean, we've just we're just sending out a request to 1,000 plus Vanish members and service users for their feedback on all the recommendations. So, you know, once we get that feedback, we'll have a better sense of the reaction. But Adoptee Rights Australia, which is a peak body for adopted people, they've put out a media release saying they welcome many of the recommendations and congratulated mothers who fought long and hard for recognition of these of the trauma and the illegal acts. However, they've said that they've you know very sad, very upset about the fact that adopted people weren't included in the redress, and they found it invalidating, and they feel it contributes to further damage to an already vulnerable community.
Jade's called. Good morning, Jade. What did you want to say?
Good morning. I'd just like to say to each and every one of those dear single mums, please be aware that I'm the grandchild of a single mum, and I have always wanted to know a little bit about my nan and my pa. I've started searching. I've, over quite a few years, just quietly did, but my sister and I, as adults, decided until my dad had passed on and we would be sure my nana had, we didn't want to open a can of worms that might have hurt either of them or any other part of the family.
Yeah.
But now, at 75, I finally found out the names of my grandparents, and I found out a little bit, but next year I'm really going to search and try and find out what I can, and I yearn to see a photo of my nan, if that ever comes to be, I don't know. But please, can people in positions try to make it easier for us who loved and would like to know a little bit about it, our forebears?
Yeah, that's a big part of the redress, Jade, is to try and make access to records easier. And you raise such a good point in that it involves so many members of the family. I even know, as you know, the child of an adopted person, we would discuss, my cousins and I would discuss whether or not we would want to find out, you know, who our grandparents were, because that just didn't seem right. It felt like we were cheating on my nan and pa, and it felt like we were cheating on each other. And it was even, it just didn't feel like something you wanted to discuss. And Charlotte, a lot of that would come down to the family you found yourself adopted into and how loved you felt at the time. But it involves so many generations, doesn't it? Just like we heard from Jade.
Yes, that's right. And also, I mean, feeling loved is obviously very important, but there are also other factors like, you know, was adoption discussed? Was the child helped to understand what that actually meant? Or was it a taboo topic that wasn't discussed openly, which can cause, you know, a lot of confusion for the child? And yes, of course, the child separated from the mother, which is extremely traumatic, but then also the father and the grandparents and the aunts and the uncles and the cousins and the ancestors, you know, the ancestry.
There's a text here that says, I relinquished my son in 1976 at the age of 16 after months of hiding. A life of secrecy, guilt and shame followed. I came out a few years ago and was able to locate my son, and he grew up not far from where I live. Sadly, he doesn't want any contact with me. So much stays unsaid. Through healed my life, and it has changed my life, and I feel that every day. I do a double take every time I see a 6'4" strawberry blonde 45-year-old man. Thanks for this conversation. It does. It stays with you. Let's bring in Dr. Sue Green into this conversation. She's an adopted person. She's also a psychologist and educator. Sue, a warm welcome to the program. And look, it's a really emotional one to have, and my heart goes out to everybody that has called and sent messages today. Counselling and support is a huge part of the redress. How can that help?
Look, I think as we've heard from the stories today, therapists gaining a level of empathic understanding about people's individual experiences, because Vanish has run the workshops in the past for therapists using people talking about their personal experiences, and what they've reported for a long time is that the counsellors didn't understand the impact of adoption, and it was just sort of glossed over as an issue, and they often felt that they weren't validated, and in particular for many mothers and adopted people, they felt re-traumatised. And, you know, that's in part because of the values and myths we hold in the community about adoption, like it's all in the past, babies can't remember, you're raised in a good family, so why would you have issues? Or mothers are told to just move on with their lives. And I think that those attitudes are often held with the beliefs and practitioners that mental health practitioners also hold. And there's also that whole secrecy around adoption, about it not being discussed and explored. And so often counsellors don't know how to raise and discuss the issues with the people that are coming. So counselling is a really important process in validating people's experiences and also understanding how if someone comes in depressed or anxious or got relationship difficulties, understanding how adoption is a part of that story.
That's interesting, Sue, that you mentioned that. Yeah, because I look back on this now and I think all of those things you just said, my mum was really lucky, she was, you know, adopted into a beautiful family, how could she have any issues? And now I look back at, I guess, some of the issues she did have, and I start to question whether or not that was as a result of not knowing who she was, whether it was a result of adoption, you know, of being forcibly taken.
Yeah, I mean, there's two things for adoptees that, you know, we experience. One is that we're born with a family and to a mother, but then our birth certificate's cancelled and we get a new name and we're raised as if we're, you know, the adoptive parent's child, and often adoption wasn't talked about, as you were saying, or it's an uncomfortable feeling to talk about it, or feel guilty or ungrateful if you talk about it. But as a child and as a person growing up, you know, you're imagining, you're fantasising, where did I come from? Why do I feel maybe different? What was my other family like? And all those sort of experiences that children grow up with are not validated and talked through. And I think if you haven't experienced adopted, that's very hard for people who are biologically related to.
What about the role of fathers here? There's, of course, this is about the mothers, but where do the dads fit in to this? A lot of the times I would be presuming that they would be young as well. Do they get a bit forgotten in this conversation?
Yeah, they were forgotten at the time, disregarded, isolated, you know, told that they were cads, and they often weren't involved at all with the birth, with supporting the mother. They were, you know, cast aside, if you like, and often fathers aren't on the birth certificate. So when people get their records, often fathers aren't named, so often fathers don't even know that they may have had a child. You know, that's changing with a bit of DNA testing now. But often it's a huge shock, and they carry that knowledge sometimes that there's a child out there that they have had no contact with. So that has a lot of impacts over time for fathers also.
Yeah, it shows the importance.
But when we do research, you know, we've always got a lot of adoptees, a lot of mothers are talking and involved, and not many fathers. And that's because fathers really haven't been involved in this discussion a great deal, and many of them don't know that they actually have a child out there.
Yeah, gosh, that's something to think about as well. So it's not the best line, so we'll say goodbye, but thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it, and the work that you do as well. That's Dr. Sue Green. She's a psychologist and an educator as well. Charlotte, for people that are listening where this might be, you know, triggering emotions for them, or they might think, you know what, it's actually time that I feel like I need to speak to somebody, or that I need some help and some assistance, is Vanish the best place for them to reach out to, and ARMS as well, if people feel like maybe they need some help and some assistance?
Yes, absolutely. Your listeners are welcome to reach out to Vanish. Our telephone number is 1-300-826-474. I think you gave out the website vanish.org.au, and ARMS is armsvic.org.au. And ARMS is for mothers, obviously.
Well, let's have a chat with Jo Fraser while we still have you. She's a mother and a secretary of ARMS. And Jo, we've been talking about ARMS a lot today. What was ARMS' reaction to the redress? Were you happy with some of the areas that were outlined?
Oh, definitely, yes. There, keeping in mind that the redress is, as has been mentioned, is not just financial. It's really important that it includes counselling and free counselling for women and for all of their sons and daughters as well, and the fathers and anybody else who's been affected by forced adoption. And also keeping in mind that there were 56 recommendations, and this is one of them, but a very important one.
And this is personal for you as well, Jo, and lots of women and men as well that are involved in ARMS, but this is, you joined and you're now a secretary because you have personal experience. So you had a son when you were 17 years old, is that correct?
That's right, yes.
And you were forced to give him up?
Yes, well, I now believe that as soon as I told my parents that I was pregnant, I just went into little girl mode. 17-year-old girls back then were quite different from what they are now, and I was never consulted about anything. Decisions were made for me and around me, and while my parents believed that they were protecting me and protecting themselves and my family and all of our reputations, it was still really, yeah, I just had no role in it whatsoever, except that I was the person in the centre.
Is that the common story that you hear at ARMS?
It's very common, yes. The thing is that there are so many variants with our experiences, but the bottom line is that we all lost a child, or more than one child. And that's what sort of holds us together in our support group. It's really fantastic and so freeing to be able to sit in a room with other women who have gone through the same thing as you, perhaps in a different way, but we can all be really honest and open about how we feel about what happened to us, what's happened since then, how we feel now, how it's affected us, and to have that support for each other has been, it's been life-saving, to be honest, for some women. I have had women that have said, if it weren't for ARMS, I would not be on this earth anymore. And unfortunately, there have been women in the past who have taken their lives or have gone into the very depths of mental illness because of what's happened to them.
What do you hope that will come out of the redress and out of the inquiry? What changes do you hope to see?
Well, for a start, one of the first recommendations that ARMS put in our submission was that we want adoption taken out of the legislation altogether. There is already permanent care and guardianship, which are exactly the same things as adoption, except they don't take away the child's identity. They don't legally sever that child from his or her family of origin, and they don't change the birth certificate and the child's name. So that's one of the things that we want. But also what we really hope for is the counselling, free counselling, the redress system, obviously, and a general education. Every time there is something like this program or something in a magazine or a newspaper and ARMS is mentioned, we get phone calls saying, I didn't even know you existed. Yeah. I thought I was the only one out there.
Gosh. I really hope the same thing as well. Jo, thank you so much for the work that you do and the work that you do at ARMS. It's incredible.
Thanks, Rochelle.
That's Jo Fraser. And Charlotte Smith, who is the manager of VANISH, which is the Victorian Adoption Network for Information and Self-Help. Charlotte, a huge thank you to you for all of the time that you've given us today and the work that you do as well. Shall we just give that number again? Is it 1-800-826-474?
Sorry, 1-300.
1-300.
Yeah. 826-474. Thanks, Rochelle.
Thanks, Charlotte. And you can also go to vanish.org.au and armsvic.org.au if you want to be a part of those support networks. A message here that says, Rochelle, please give a passing recognition to the adopting parents who may be feeling guilt and sadness caused by hearing the impact of past actions that were seen to be appropriate at the time of the adoption. Thank you. That's from Alex. And as I said at the very beginning, my nana and pa, hands down, best people in the entire world. So, yeah, that's a really important thing to say. Vanish.org.au and armsvic.org.au if you would like some support and some help. And let's keep a close eye on that redress scheme and see what actually does come out of it. If you want to listen back to this program, if you missed the beginning, or if you think this is a really important conversation for someone that you know to listen to, or you just want to listen to it in the secrecy and in some privacy in your own time, then go to the ABC Listen app, download and subscribe to the Conversation Hour podcast. This has been the Conversation Hour. If you want to email us, you always can. We love to accept and to read your emails. conversationhour@abc.net.au. I'll be back with you tomorrow. Until then, be safe, be well. If this has affected you today, please reach out to someone and get the help that you need, even if it is just a hug from a friend or to talk to someone or go for a walk and just get some fresh air. There are groups and organisations and support services there for you. So look after yourself. I'll speak to you tomorrow.